Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight, and it's May 23rd, 2014. Now, it was only about a week ago that Staff Sergeant Joe Biggs and I were walking through an American mock city where our military was planning on taking over small American towns in a counterinsurgency operation. Now, just yesterday, a former three-star general, General Daniel Bulger, had a press conference where he talked about an upcoming book that's coming out on November 11th, where he writes the first after-action report on the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, Why We Lost. And as Time magazine points out here, they don't use the word lost lightly, and he doesn't use it lightly either. Listen to the statistics that he mentioned in the interview, of course, about what these two wars cost us. He said 6,800 U.S. troops, $2 trillion and rising, and who knows how many Afghans and Iraqis have died in that. And he says, by next Memorial Day, who is going to say that we won these two wars? We committed ourselves to counterinsurgency, there's that word again, without having a real discussion. And what does he mean by that? He says, they should have talked to the military and civilian leadership and the American public and said, hey, are you good with this? Do you want to stay here for 30 or 40 years like we did in Korea? Or are we going to run out of energy? And he says it's obvious that we ran out of energy. And this is what he said. He said, once you get past the initial knockout shot of invading a country, let's put it that way, and decide that you're going to stay a while, you better define what a while means, because in counterinsurgency, you're talking about decades. He said, I was in the military that was planning for deployments forever, basically. That's exactly what I learned in my research when I looked at the Asymmetric Warfare Group at the conferences that they were having 8 years ago, talking about what had happened in Iraq and Afghanistan, what they had learned in fighting wars against an indigenous population for the last 40, 50, 60 years, ever since World War II. They say that it's going to take decades, that it's a very long-term strategy. Well, the bottom line is, as the guy from the RAND Corporation pointed out, they have yet to win one of these. How many decades do they have to stay before they win? I believe that oppressors will never win. And as they pointed out, it was not about religion. It was about people who had been invaded, who had lost their self-determination, who had lost their freedom, who had no economic future. They coalesced around religious groups because that's where they were looking for security. But the fundamental thing that people are fighting about in Islamic countries is the same thing people will fight about in any country, and that is you have taken away their freedom and made them slaves. He basically said, let me read one more quote from this article. He says, what we've done is basically installed authoritarian dictators. That's the fundamental problem. That's the fundamental problem with American foreign policy. And the problem in America is that we basically are installing a dictatorship, at least the framework for a dictatorship. And we understand, as well as they do, where this is going. They're preparing for a war that is going to force that dictatorship down our throats and is going to respond to people when they inevitably rise against it. It was just yesterday, while he was giving this interview, there was training going on in Tampa with special forces, as we reported yesterday. And they were training not just with U.S. special forces, but with 16 foreign nations' special forces. And guess what? One of those nations, the last one they mentioned, was Thailand. Guess what else happened yesterday as the Thai troops were training for counterinsurgency? They had a military coup in Thailand. Look at this headline from The Guardian. Thai military detains politicians and activists. You want to know what this is going to look like when it comes to America? Take a look at what happened in Thailand. Thailand's military has detained more than 150 politicians and activists and banned them from leaving the country. It was unclear what the army's summons entailed, as media were not allowed inside the base. They told these politicians, the prime minister, the ex-prime minister, the cabinet, and many others, both pro-government and anti-government, report to a military base. That's what it's going to look like. We've said this over and over again. Alex has said the first people up against the wall are going to be people that they perceive to be competitors to them when they seize power. So if we have an executive who becomes a dictatorship, or if we have the military that does a military coup, either way, we are treading on some very dangerous ground here. It says that they have restricted these people from the military bases. They were still did not know where their whereabouts were, and they are being detained indefinitely. Does that sound familiar? Guess what? Yesterday, They reauthorized the NDAA with its indefinite provision plans, with the fact that the military can arrest American citizens on American soil whenever they wish, essentially. Now, of course, the executive that signed that, Obama, said he was not going to use that. And yet we see that Obama and the Republican House continue to pass these provisions. What does that tell us? It tells us that this is not just coming from Obama. This is something the Republicans want very badly as well. The only people who came out against this, essentially, were, and there was some bipartisan opposition to this, but we saw that Adam Smith, Democrat of Washington, as well as a Georgia Republican, Paul Brown, offered opposition amendments to get rid of the indefinite detention provisions. And this is what the New American says. It says, one of the most noxious elements of the NDAA is that it places the American military at the disposal of the president for the apprehension, arrest, and detention of those suspected of posing a danger to the homeland, either inside the borders of the U.S. or outside, whether the suspect is a citizen or a foreigner. And there is a frightening grant of immense and unconstitutional power to the executive branch. The president is afforded the absolute power to arrest and detain citizens of the U.S. without them being informed of any criminal charges, without a trial on the merits of those charges, and without any due process safeguards. That's exactly what is happening in Thailand. Do you think that that's impossible, that it can't happen here in America? We were warned by our founders that this is exactly what would happen if we allowed ourselves to have a permanent standing military, if we allowed power to be consolidated into the federal government. And now it's not just consolidated in the federal government, it's being consolidated into one branch. And the Republican Congress is fine with that. It was Madison who told us that if oppression and tyranny ever comes to this country, it will come in the guise of fighting a foreign enemy. And historically, that's the way it has come. And we see just this week yet another example of this. We saw Rand Paul rose to oppose the confirmation of David Barron because David Barron had written the memos that the Obama administration said gave them legal justification to kill an American citizen abroad using drones. Paul urged the Senate to not vote along partisan lines. He said, imagine if Bush were doing this. And of course, he was joined by people like Ron Wyden, a Democrat, who said, every American has the right to know when their government believes it is allowed to kill them. Yes, we need to see those memos, the memos that this guy wrote, that David Barron wrote. And yet, here we are just 2 years later, because they oppose this, because Paul and Grassley and Wyden and other people opposed this nomination. Finally, the administration released these memos 2 years after the fact to allow the Senate to see it. I'm sorry, I think it was 3 years. I think it was 2011. Anyway, they are still not being seen by the American public. We still have not had that discussion, just as we did not have the right kind of discussion about what kind of a commitment we were going to make in Iraq and in Afghanistan. And yet, he was confirmed to a lifetime position yesterday. As his alma mater, Harvard, points out, this Harvard Law School professor, David Barron, was confirmed by the full Senate for a seat on the bench of the U.S. First Circuit Court of Appeals, 53-45, essentially along partisan lines. They said that it was brought by Harry Reid, and of course, Harry Reid is the one who stopped, who changed the rules for filibusters. That's why Rand Paul did not speak for hours. He only spoke for 30 minutes, laying out the concerns about due process. And it was not, as he pointed out, about merely transparency. He said, of course, Obama will get some votes from people because he's released these documents to the Senate. But of course, the American public still has not seen those documents. And they say, it's kind of interesting in this Harvard thing that said these memos were allegedly written by Barron. We've got secret memos being written, secret trials being done by the FISA court, by the administration, where people are being killed, where our freedoms are being taken away. We're not even allowed to see these quote-unquote decisions that are fundamentally changing our society, taking away due process and trial by jury that has existed for over 1,000 years. Now, there's elections going on in England. We just had some interesting developments there. The UKIP Populist Party, led by Nigel Farage, and of course, he's been a frequent guest on the Alex Jones Show. And the New York Times is trying to take down expectations here a little bit because they had such a good showing. They said, Populist Party gains as expected in British election, well, of course, they're going to say, oh, yeah, we knew that was going to happen. But it was pretty significant. He won at least 150 local council seats. And prior to this, the party had only held two. They're now ranked in the third position, moving out the previous party that was in third position, the Liberal party that was there. Now, The Guardian talks about, in an opinion piece here, they talk about how the pushback against them by not only the Liberals, but by the Conservatives, essentially the ruling powers, have pushed back against this movement by UKIP by trying to sneer at them and call them, guess what, racists. Yes, that's always the epithet that's hurled at everyone. That's the easiest thing to do is to call them racist, to paint little Nazi mustaches on his pictures, and yet, remember, Nigel Farage is the guy who called out Herman Van Rompuy for taking out democratically elected leaders and appointing what they called technocrats. These are essentially Goldman Sachs bankers to run countries. And he said, who are you to do that? And he said famously that you look like a third-rate bank clerk. Well, actually, he was acting like a bank clerk, putting these bankers in power. Now, in this article, John Harris, The Guardian, writes that you don't have to be an idiot of some description, either bigoted or duped and worthy of little more than contempt to vote for UKIP. He says, if a party is averaging 47% of the vote in a labor stronghold and Tories from their perches in crucial conservative territory apparently heading towards first place in the European contest, something important is obviously afoot. Yes, it is. Now, what that article was pointing out was that it's not just labor people, it's not just conservatives, it's a broad-based contempt for the kind of government that's being forced upon Europe as part of the EU and the Euro management. People don't like what's being pushed on them. And where did that originate? Well, it originated at Bilderberg. At one of their first meetings, they planned all of this, and they're executing it. But now the people are pushing back. It's not just in the UK. It's also in France and in other places where people are pushing back against this kind of rule. It's one of the reasons we're going to Bilderberg, is to take the pulse of the people there, as well as to see what's happening. And, of course, it was admitted yesterday by one of the people heavily involved in Bilderberg that it is far more important in terms of decision-making than, say, Davos, where all the mainstream media goes. Bilderberg, he said, is where they really make the important decisions, like the euro, like the EU. Now, as we see these decisions being taken out of our hand, as we see the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq being run for decades and yet still lost, there's another war that's been running for even longer, and that's the war on drugs. And in that war, there have been over 120,000 Mexican people have died in that war, another 27,000 missing. Compare that to the 6,800 American troops who died in the two wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And now we see evidence that this kind of violence is moving to the United States. Look at this report from KHOU in Houston. They say El Paso police are investigating two mysterious billboards that just appeared off of I-10, each with a mannequin hanging from a noose. And the regional manager for Lamar Outdoor Advertising, who does billboards, says this is not an advertisement. Now, these billboards were vandalized, and listen to what they put up there. In Spanish, they wrote, silver or lead. In other words, you're either going to take bribes from the drug cartels or we're going to shoot you. This is a warning that they put up over and over again in Mexico. And the fact that they have a mannequin dressed in a suit and tie hanging there is also a threat to governments and business owners. We've already had law enforcement against prohibition point out that 80% of the shootings in Chicago are drug related. If you want to know the cause of people getting killed by firearms, it's illegal drugs. It's not the fact that people have Second Amendment rights. It's illegal drugs, but it's going to get much worse. We had just a week or two ago news that in Minnesota, some teenagers were tortured by a rival Mexican drug gang in Minnesota. Now we see this border town in El Paso having the same kinds of warnings and threats of violence that we've seen in Mexico, with a full-scale war that is far more violent than anything our soldiers have seen in Iraq and Afghanistan in terms of casualties. 120,000 versus 6,800 casualties in those two wars. Now, this long-term war on drugs is really based on nothing more than absurdities. The absurdity of prohibition that hopefully we could have gotten over. We could have learned our lesson from the war on alcohol, but we didn't. So we have a war on drugs, and look at how it raises its head. Kentucky is now graciously going to be allowed to grow hemp. by the DEA. After federal officials detained hemp seeds for more than a week at a Louisville International Airport, agriculture officials have now obtained DEA permits late Thursday, the last federal hurdle to getting the seeds. What they were trying to do was hold it up till they missed the growing season. And these are imported from Italy. They can have hemp seeds in Italy, but we can't have them here. They can have them in Canada, but we can't have them here. This is absolutely absurd. It doesn't get anybody high. There is no psychological effect from smoking hemp. It doesn't have the THC that marijuana does, but because it's physiologically similar, they categorize it the same way. Now, one final point about this, and that is it's the state of Kentucky that is trying to do research on hemp seeds, precisely so they can use it for clothing and for food and lotion and the many, many uses, medical as well, that hemp has, but that is something that is going to go against the small number of corporations that essentially write the laws and the government that works for them that runs the war of drugs. Now, the other thing that they're pushing on us, of course, is Agenda 21, where they want to get people not only off of the farms, but out of the suburbs, into the cities, into 200-square-foot micro-apartments. They want to control what we eat and drink. They want to make food out of excrement. And, of course, now they want to make water out of your toilet water. And Jakari Jackson has a report on that right after the break. And then after that, we have Staff Sergeant Joe Biggs is going to have an update on the ongoing VA scandal. Stay tuned.
From the water table to our soils to the atmosphere itself, our world is becoming more and more toxic each and every day. But it's not just the air outside that's toxic. Indoor air has been shown to have 2 to 5 times higher concentrations of pollutants than even outdoor air. And most Americans spend 90% of their time inside using toxic chemicals within their homes. There are more than 42 million smokers in the United States. Well over 1,000 types of mold and mildew linked to numerous conditions. And don't forget the fact that 6 million Americans live with pets they're allergic to as well. When I began to research these statistics, it was clear to me it was time to start cleansing my lungs in order to combat the toxic environment that we cannot escape but that we can fight back against. Made with organic and wild cultivated herbs and manufactured in the USA, the new InfoWars Life Lung Cleanse is here in a convenient spray bottle that can be brought with you throughout any toxic environment. Now available exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. Introducing Pro One. All of your filtration in one system, portable, on the go. No more do you have 2 or 3 filters to just reduce sodium fluoride. You have a system that cuts out the sodium fluoride and up to 95% of hydrofluorosilicic acid. Advanced manufacturing technology combines silver impregnated white ceramic with new Aquametics advanced media for removal of fluoride and other heavy metals, all in one filter element. It is the only one that does it, and out of the gate, we have it discounted at 10% off with promo code WATER. This is the only system that in one unit helps reduce or remove pesticides, herbicides, chloramines, ammonia and chlorine, hydrofluorosilicic acid, the most common form of fluoride not covered by other fluoride filter brands, and sodium hexafluorosilicate. Get your Pro Pure with a new Pro One filter today at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling 888-253-3139.
Drought concerns. They're very real in the American Southwest, and here in the state of Texas, many Texas cities and communities have less than 90 days of water in their reserve. And that's not even counting the water gouging that would surely take place during some type of crisis. Now, there are reasonable water rationing measures in effect, such as using gray water, water from your sink or your bathtub that you store in a tank to water your grass at a later date. And that sounds perfectly fine. But there are more extreme measures not only being proposed, but also active in at least one Texas city. So in the name of sustainability, would you drink water that was once in your toilet? Can I ask you, what measures do you take to keep yourself hydrated?
What measures?
Yes.
I drink a full glass of water every morning, a full glass of water before exercising, a full glass of water before bed, and water in between.
I stop at most of the water fountains on the trail.
Do you guys stop at the water fountain so you're drinking city water?
Yes.
And what type of water? Do you drink city water or some other type?
City water.
City water?
Uh-huh.
Okay, did you know that the city of Austin is considering making toilet water drinking water?
That's disgusting.
It's disgusting?
That's disgusting.
Would you drink the toilet water?
No.
A city out in West Texas doing it.
I think it's Big Spring, Texas.
Yeah, I've heard of them doing it. I thought they were crazy for it.
Do you let your dog drink out of the toilet?
No.
No? Okay, would you drink out of the toilet?
What do you think?
We're all going to have to answer that question soon, I guess, right?
Also, you've heard about this.
Oh, yeah.
You drink a lot of water. So, you know, you want to stay hydrated, you want to stay healthy, especially as it gets hotter here in the state of Texas. So drinking your water morning, noon, and night, would you drink the toilet water?
I would not.
Could it ever be clean enough for you to drink it?
They would have to prove that it's clean enough.
Would you consider drinking the water if you knew it was... No?
No, not if I knew toilet water was in it.
Yes.
I'd want to hear more about it.
How clean is clean? How clean would it have to be?
It would have to be as clean as the water we drink now, and some people think our tap water's not clean enough now.
They'd be fine. If I knew it was okay to drink, maybe.
How would you know? How clean is clean? How clean would it have to be?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Now, this is a last-ditch effort. It's nothing that they so much want to do, but they're thinking that if the drought continues, it may get to the point where they have to drink the toilet water. So could the water ever be clean enough?
I don't think so.
Why do we need to resort to that?
Well, we have a water rationing in effect. You know, there's a drought going on.
I don't know that.
Yeah. So you're saying it can never get to the point where you'd want to drink toilet water?
It depends on the scientific process of what's used to purify it, you know.
And I'll also tell you that here in the city of Austin, they fluoridate the water, and there have been Harvard studies about fluoride reducing people's IQs.
I think I'm pretty smart still.
Fluoride in the water, and the mayor of Austin, you know, gives you the finger if you come in there and talk about it.
Oh, well, I try to talk to my family about it, and they just think I'm crazy.
Yeah. Harvard studies about fluoride reducing IQ levels.
Well, I guess that explains a lot.
All right, thank you. Enjoy your workout, miss.
Thanks.
The city of Big Spring, Texas is already taking water from the toilet to the tap. And through a multi-stage cleaning process, a representative for the Texas Water Development Board says it tastes just as good as any bottled water.
It tasted not unlike any other drinking water, whether it's from the tap here in the city of Austin or bottled of Ozarka water. And yes, I'd recommend it. I recommend any water supply that is readily available and reliable and safe.
So while the final decision concerning the toilet water may be a ways off, the city of Austin can improve health immediately by simply removing fluoride from the water. You can find more reports at Infowars.com.
Yeah, that may work for little creatures like my dog, but I'm not going to eat.
Texas town close to toilet to tap loop. Is this our future water supply? And they go on to say that Austin has been doing such a good job saving water that we're now going to get toilet water recycled. And again, it's good to save water and not waste it. But they just want you to not waste it to double, triple charge you. My friends, Alex Jones here to tell you about some of the most important information concerning you and your family's health. Radiation levels have more than doubled in the last 60 years in the Northern Hemisphere from all of the nuclear testing and radiological accidents. Radioactive contamination is now in most of the food supply. There's only two ways to avoid this. Move south of the equator or properly protect your thyroid with Nascent Iodine. Looking to protect my family, I've done deep research. Nascent Iodine is the purest, cleanest, absolute best form of iodine to protect yourself and your family. It's made right here in the USA, completely non-GMO. I searched out the best quality and now have developed a double-strength form of Nascent Iodine, exclusively available at InfoWarsLife.com. Nascent Iodine is on record as one of the only safe ways to detox from fluoride poisoning. Survival Shield Nascent Iodine. Secure your super high-quality Nascent Iodine today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Globalist social engineers are not just targeting us with propaganda. They are manipulating our genetics. We are being targeted at every level by estrogen mimickers that lower our testosterone and other hormones and natural compounds that the body needs. After consulting top doctors, nutritionists, pharmacists, and others, we have developed what I believe is the ultimate non-GMO organic super male vitality formula, sourced from powerful organic herbs and then concentrated for maximum potency. Super Male Vitality was developed to activate your body's own natural processes instead of using synthetic chemicals. Super Male Vitality by InfoWars Life is so powerful that I only take half the recommended dose. For a limited time, we are offering 15% off Super Male Vitality at InfoWarsLife.com to introduce you to this powerful supplement. Visit InfoWarsLife.com today to secure your Super Male Vitality. InfoWarsLife.com.
The most humbling part of my job is serving as commander-in-chief to the world's finest military. And there's nothing I take more seriously than my responsibility to those who sacrifice their own safety to defend ours. That's why Michelle and I have made supporting veterans and military families a top priority from the start.
Well, as you can see, the president's number one priority is veteran care. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but President Obama back in 2007 was on the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, and he still is.
Give me the specific allegations that I think were reported first by your network out of Phoenix. I believe we learned about them through the reports. That's when we learned about them, and that's when, as I understand, Secretary Shinseki learned about them.
Now, I find it hard to believe that Jay Carney says the president just now found out about this when it came out on the news.
Hey, sir, you can't come on property.
Okay, we're just going to get our vehicle then. We'll leave.
What's that?
We'll get our vehicle and leave then. We're doing...
Just stay off the property for me.
I can't get my car?
This has been a fiasco. Media, we have so much media. Sir, they are with InfoWars. Magazine, talk show.
Yeah. We're doing a report. That's what we're kind of saying. We're doing stuff on veteran suicides and how people think that they could help kind of fix it. That's all.
Okay, yeah, but any media can't be done on property. Let me get your information if you don't mind, sir.
I just got kicked off the VA in Austin Center by police. And all I said I was going to do was interview a few veterans walking through the parking lot and ask them a few questions about suicide awareness with veterans. And they said I couldn't be there on property because of the scandal going on right now. Now, this says a lot about our government. Instead of fixing the problem, they'd rather just sweep it under the mat and forget all about it. Today, I interviewed two soldiers who gave me their accounts of mistreatment at VA clinics.
You said while you were in the service, you were, you know, drugged quite a bit by the military, you know, excessive amounts of painkillers that would get you, you know, over time. You would be addicted to things like that. You know, give me a little background on that and what you experienced with the mass drugging.
The mass drugging, one of my duty stations after Fort Campbell, pretty much, I mean, you're in pain, they wrote your prescription. You're freaking going cuckoo or say you're feeling this way, they wrote your prescription. It pretty much was just like, we'll write your prescription for this, we'll write your prescription for that. And, there's people that I know that will attest that I was pretty much in a zombie-like state. They sent me to therapy when I was in Colorado, but the therapy they sent me to there was a civilian-run contractor, and at the civilian-run facility, they pretty much drugged me even more and more and more. So that necessarily wasn't the military's fault. That was just another facility's fault. When I got out of the Army, my friends can attest for this, I was a train wreck. I literally was a train wreck, a zombie, hated life, hated everything, didn't know what I was going to do, and it was just awful.
I mean, you thought people were kind of coming after you for a bit of time there, though, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I did. It's normal with PTSD to have some paranoia, which I still suffer with right now, but the amount of paranoia I was having at the time when I first got out was ridiculous. I mean, I had friends stop talking to me because they thought that I was going nuts.
The problem was that the medication doctors there, they were all about some pills, just here, take this, you know, it'll maybe make you feel better. Or it was nothing but side effects all the time. It drove me to do nothing but want to drink, and pack on a bunch of weight and everything else. Just because, I mean, all the side effects one had over the other.
What kind of pills did they give you? Did they give you antidepressants, you know, pain pills, things like that?
When I first got out, they were giving me tranquilizer. I mean, just sedatives, basically. It's supposed to make you happier, but in essence, for a lot of us, it just kind of seems like it makes you more depressed. You weren't even seeing, like, real doctors. It took me, I think, 4 months before I actually seen an actual psychologist and a counselor to help me with some of the, you know, the crap I was dealing with. And I got tired of it, and I ended up moving from Florida to Texas. So, and San Antonio really isn't any better. I ended up going there for I didn't know I had type 2 diabetes, and I ended up going there with a blood sugar of like 890 something.
So the VA in Gainesville never even caught on to the fact that you had diabetes and you've gone an extended amount of time without even getting that taken care of?
Yeah. They told me, you know, you were like a soda pop away from a coma.
I mean, that's a prime example. I mean, you could have been on a secret list like the one in Phoenix, Arizona. I mean, that's scary to know that these guys could have known or did know and decided just to kind of let that slide and just, you know, whatever, you know, sort itself out over time.
Over the past 3 days, I've had the opportunity to speak with 4 separate whistleblowers that worked at VA clinics across the nation. Now, they all had something interesting to add.
And made statements, racial slurs against veterans, have made statements that, you know, older veterans, they should just be taken outside and shot in the head because they're worthless. And this person still works there.
One of the biggest issues with the VA care is the fact that we all know there's a rise in suicides and anxiety and depression. And instead of actually treating the underlying issues through new technologies, they just hand out pills. And they hand out so much medication at the VA that at the VA, pills have become a currency. And veterans get arrested or they get detained because it's federal property. Because they're just handed out these pills. I mean, I have a back problem. I could go to the VA right now and probably get a 3-month supply of Vicodin. In the private industry, that won't happen. And I really believe that they rely on veterans being addicted because they go to what's called the addiction clinic, where they receive funding per head.
Is there a reason that a lot of these VA clinics, and I don't know if this trickles to you at all, but I keep getting reports from a lot of the veterans saying that when they go in and they have problems, they're being asked if they have weapons, how much ammo they have, and where they store them at. Now, is that something that is a across-the-board type question?
Not specifically whether they have weapons in the house, that sort of thing. But, you know, not to open up another can of worms, but, you know, there's been issues in the past where if a doctor feels that a veteran is rated incompetent, without that due process, you know, we would send them a letter basically saying that, yeah, you're not allowed to own weapons or, you know, it's against the Brady Bill or the Brady Law.
You have a lot of people that are coming out of the military that have the ability and the knowledge to build IEDs and to defeat law enforcement techniques.
Mainstream media is not going to do their job covering this story whatsoever. So it's our job here at InfoWars to get the story out. If you have any tips or anything like that, please email them to vets@InfoWars.com. And don't forget, our oath to the Constitution has no expiration date.
Well, that's it for tonight's news. Join us Monday at 7 Central. And, of course, next week we're going to be in Copenhagen reporting on the Bilderberg meeting. Don't miss that.
A group of more than 500 retired pro football players have filed a class action lawsuit against the NFL. They're claiming that the league unethically supplied them with illegal prescription pain medications so they could play the game through serious injuries. As a result, these players now suffer from addiction and long-term health problems caused by the risky narcotics. The abusive practice by the NFL basically substituted pain medication for medical care, thus keeping the league's tsunami of dollars flowing. Players were sent out onto the football field unaware they had serious injuries. Super Bowl champion quarterback Jim McMahon says team doctors never told him he had a broken neck. They just fed him more pain pills. And his teammate Keith Van Horn says he played an entire season with a broken leg while on a steady diet of painkillers. The class action lawsuit follows another NFL conspiracy to cover up the dangers of concussions. which was the focus of League of Denial, a powerful PBS Frontline documentary that details how the NFL covered up the concussion crisis.
What League of Denial is about the invisible disease attacking the brains of football players. It's according to the scientists we talked to, the cumulative effect of maybe as many as 1,500 hits a year, the likelihood that your brain has a lot of damage done to it is very high.
ESPN was so alarmed by the film that they ended their production partnership with PBS for running it. Meanwhile, the NFL agreed to pay close to $800 million in lawsuits, accusing the league of concealing the risk of head injuries. And as we've been reporting all along here at InfoWars, the National Football League has also emerged as an establishment political tool. So it makes sense that they cover up scandals and deal drugs. And get this, the NFL is a $9 billion a year business and growing, yet they are totally tax-free. That's right, they do not pay a dime in taxes. The owners consist of a group of billionaires who buy politicians who agree to use your tax dollars to build lavish stadiums that are also set up as FEMA relocation camps in the event of an emergency or civil unrest.
Hey, we're here in Denver, Colorado, and we're covering Operation Mountain Guardian. Now, this is a large-scale terrorism drill, and 100 different agencies actually took part in the exercise. Now, this was a test for Homeland Security and FEMA to test their capabilities in what they referred to as a catastrophic situation involving a terrorist attack. One of the primary locations of the drill took place right behind me at the Sports Authority Field, where the exercise involved participants processing children in and out of the FEMA camp that they set up inside of the stadium.
We are partnering this year with the NFL.
The NFL has teamed up with the Department of Homeland Security, sending TSA Viper teams to football stadiums. They turn the Super Bowl into a police state, complete with Illuminati rituals, while at the same time banning pro-Second Amendment ads and promoting Obamacare. They are the poster child for the New World Order, and they play a heavy hand in conditioning the public. And for those of you who think that it's completely harmless to be a die-hard football fan, like I used to be, and you honestly believe that you're not the subject of conditioning, you have to ask yourselves what it would be like to live in a country where people were as passionate about football as they were for things that actually matter. Celebrate the spirit of freedom and liberty upon which our nation was founded at InfoWarsShop.com. Molon Lave is ancient Greek for come and take it. This popular design combines both classic Greek Spartan imagery with modern M16 assault rifles. Now available in women's tees and proudly made in the USA. And now you can protect yourself from corrupt cops with the InfoWars dash cam. It's your car's black box that records all that the driver sees and hears. And introducing the Block It Pocket. It renders your phone undetectable while protecting your private data and your health. Or take back your privacy and protect your personal information by getting your very own detractor cell phone pouch. So get incredibly high quality freedom-based products and help fund the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
Most often asked is why, and we find plenty of reasons, whether they're real or not. But perhaps the question we should be asking is not why, but who.
Miller.
Recovery mission underway. We are Oscar Mike.
To understand this war, we have to go back further than any of us could have anticipated. Tragic as it was, brought about the unwavering unity of the American people. But what would it take to unite the entire world?
Perhaps we need some outside universal threat. If suddenly there was a threat to this world from some other species, from another planet, outside in the universe. I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. And yet, I ask you, is not an alien force already among us?
Rebels oppose all those who strive to bring unity and order to our world.
Jake is down.
Copy. You know what to do.
Roger that.
Something many people don't understand is that collateral damage is a necessary evil that we soldiers have to carry on our shoulders.
had a run-in with the rebels. But we're close. We're about 4 clicks off.
All right, keep a low profile. Once you've secured the area, stay put and keep any visitors away. We can't risk sending in the big birds with so many craft in those skies until you've confirmed your mission status.
Roger that.
Soldiers are trained not to question our orders, so we fight, believing that our cause is great and just. But when you don't know the face of your enemy, it's damn hard to know whether you're on the right side.
In our top story, as South America tries to recover from another nuclear attack, the White House is pressuring other nations to follow the U.S. leadership, as it has the only military force capable of defeating the alien attackers. Russian leaders are considering joining the New World Order.
Miller, what's the sit-rep?
Sir.
Miller? Miller?
Sir, that is a negative. The coordinates of the crash site are incorrect.
Watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.